Might have been waiting for me to say John. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Let's see if we can get this back up here. Right. And I mentioned several weeks ago that I was going to start a series on the foundation stones. You've seen this poster down in the main entrance way. And as I was beginning to prepare this week, what was really impressed upon my heart is there's a starting point. There's an introduction to this series. And revolves around a theme not listed there. But it is sort of in a way there. But before we look at the seven foundation stones, I sense the Lord saying to me, you need to talk about the cornerstone before the other foundation stones. The cornerstone before the other foundation stones. The cornerstone is who? Jesus. Jesus is the cornerstone. I'm going to look at a verse there in a minute. But Matthew chapter 16, we come to this verse. This is going to title my message today, I Will Build My Church, Jesus says from Matthew 16. I'm going to read. You can follow along. Verses 13 to 20. Matthew 16, 13 to 20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. His time had not yet come for his revelation. What a powerful passage of Scripture. I'm going to focus on verse 18. I'm going to read that one more time. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Let us pray. So, Father, as we come to your word today, your eternal word of truth, may our hearts be open. Father, may your spirit work in us. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. So as I mentioned before, the foundation stones series, and I want to talk today about the cornerstone. This construction imagery, this construction metaphor, we find in several places through Scripture. Jesus says, I will build my church. He's the builder. But we also read in Ephesians that he's the cornerstone. Ephesians 2, 18 to 22. Just listen as I read that. Ephesians 2, 18 to 22 says this. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. We sing sometimes that song, Christ Alone, Cornerstone. The first stone set in a construction of a masonry foundation is the cornerstone. It's the most important because all other stones are set in reference to this stone. thus determining the position of the entire structure. Have any of you laid a masonry foundation before? Okay. So you might know what I'm talking about. Sorry, Mike. There's a little feedback on there. You might not mind, but just kidding. Over time, the cornerstone has become a kind of a ceremonial stone, right? Now if you walk around an old building, even like Gilmore's here, we see is called the cornerstone by some. It's kind of not really down below, but it's kind of, you know, maybe 3-4 feet up in the ground. And we see it here as in a prominent location with an inscription on it, perhaps a construction date or whatever. But that's not the original cornerstone idea. The original cornerstone idea is this stone in the ground that all other masonry foundation stones are built around. Well, that's the idea I want us to think about as we think about Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. Not some ceremonial stone stuck inside of a wall, but the cornerstone. It's important we get that image, that understanding. But it's amazing that we see here, we read in Ephesians 2 that he's called the cornerstone, but in Matthew, he calls himself the builder. He is the builder. Upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, the church that Jesus is building, as you know, we talk about many times, it's not made of bricks and mortar, right? It's the people of God. That is the church that Jesus is building, the people of God. So what I want to do today is actually walk through this little sentence here. I will build my church. And then to begin with the I. I will build my church. You know, Jesus didn't say, you will build. He said, I will build. The I is Jesus. He's the one, the only one worthy to bring history to its appointed fulfillment. He is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity, fully God, fully man. While on earth, he lived, died, and was resurrected, now ascended into glory. That is the I, and I will build my church. I want us to think about that worthiness of Christ, and look here, just listen as I read from Revelation chapter 5. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. Speaking of Jesus, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked around and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is our Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is he to build his church. Jesus, as I said, did not say, you will build. He did not say, you'll do this without me. Apart from Jesus, as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, we can do what? Absolutely nothing. If pastors, elders, and deacons think they're doing the building, we got to look to the roof. It's going to cave in. Jesus is doing the building. But does Jesus use us? Yes, he uses willing servants in the building process. As I noted from Ephesians 2, the part of that foundation is the apostles and prophets. Christ the cornerstone, but the apostles and prophets have been used. And if you are serving, if you are giving, if you are sharing in the work of the Lord, you're being used of God in the building of his church. The greatest building project in the history of humankind. How does that make you feel? I hope that should encourage you, that if you're part of you're part of God's people, you're serving the Lord, you are one of his builders. We are part, as servants, as laborers, with Christ the head, Ephesians 5. I will build, Jesus says. Now, there's a future element to this, I will build. And there's also a continual element to this. You notice, it's not until after Jesus died and rose again that he sent the Holy Spirit. at Pentecost. And that inaugurated the birth of the church. It didn't start that day as he's with his disciples, although there's work being done. I will build my church. It's a promise. It's a promise. Jesus did not say, I might build or I may build, but I will build. So whether the numbers are very small or the numbers are big, we stand on the promise. Now, the small church might not mean weak and dying, and the large church might not mean strong and thriving. Where Jesus is the foundation, where he is the cornerstone, where his gospel and word are proclaimed, disciples are made, and that is the key, loved ones. That is the key. I will build. What a promise to hold on to. And maybe you've been a part of a church or seen, because there are, in North America, over 3,000 every year that close. Maybe you've been a part of a church that's closed its doors. We see it happening in Peterborough, don't we? Church is closing. Some people wondering, is Jesus building his church? Some people get discouraged by that. Jesus promised, I will build my church. Hang on to that promise, loved ones. He's building his church. He's building his church. Among the faithful in Canada, among the faithful in Rwanda, Uganda, China, Iran, Bolivia, United Kingdom, where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said. He is building his church. Some of those look like a house church. Might look like a church under a tree. When my sister went to Africa on a mission, the church met under a tree. The church might meet in a building like this. It might meet in a factory warehouse. But where the gospel is proclaimed. And the truth is the grounding, is the base. God is building his church. Amen? Praise God for that. I will build. Next thing I want us to note is what Jesus says is my church. I will build my church. There's an ownership there. There's a sense of belonging in that little word, my. Remember from last week in John 15, what did Jesus say? You did not choose me, but I chose you. Ephesians 1, 3 to 14 kind of carries on this idea of belonging, of him choosing. Notice this from Ephesians 1, and I'm going to read 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us. He predestined his church for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire the possession of it to the praise of his glory. We are his, and we're purchased by his blood. Notice 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. My church. There's ownership. There's that sense of purchasing. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of what? The Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You are not your own, church, for you were bought with a price. Amen. Hallelujah. So glorify God with your body. You are not your own. You were bought. You were bought with a price. And what was that price? The blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus. Acts 20:28 says this. Pay careful attention. It's Paul speaking now to some Christian leaders, some church leaders. Pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained by his own blood. Which he obtained. Jesus obtained you, believer in Jesus, by his own blood. Amazing. God has placed me personally in that position of overseer, a shepherd, as like Paul was talking to them there, of his flock. You're not my flock. You're God's flock, and he's made me an overseer of. Great privilege and a great responsibility. I understand that. Those serving in leadership, you serve King Jesus as you humbly lead his people. You don't serve me. We together serve King Jesus, and this is his flock. Really, this point is very important to grasp. The ownership papers of this church belong to Jesus Christ. They're not mine. They're not yours. This church belongs to him. It doesn't belong to a family that may be here for a while or longer than you. The ownership papers of this church belong to Jesus Christ. Not even our denominational leaders sitting somewhere in an office in Toronto. They don't own this church. You're bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's powerful. You know, sometimes we fall into the trap of thinking it's church is about me. It's about my preferences. It's me church. A few years ago, I showed a little clip, a little video clip called Me Church, right? Remember people walked into church that Sunday and said, you know, can I get a buff and a wax on my car while I'm sitting in here, you know? The pews aren't comfortable enough for me. I want you to upgrade the pews. I want to know what everyone else is giving, you know. And there was a whole little story, right, about me church and people just coming in and wanting to find out and do, you know, have their own needs catered to. Well, Jesus said, I will build, it's my church, Jesus said. It's his church. It's his church. So it's not really primarily about what I'm getting out of it or what you're getting out of it on a Sunday morning. It's not about how it makes you feel or how it makes me feel. Not about my preferences for music or how my kids are thinking about things. This is the church of Jesus Christ. It's his church. So if it affects how I personally, as a shepherd, as a overseer, it affects how I plan and how I pray and how I administer the duties God has given me here. But it also should affect you as well, right? If this is his church, we've got to lay down, constantly laying down what we might consider our rights to ourselves. You know, lay it down. I love it. I do see from time to time people giving up maybe what they considered their pew. You know what I'm talking about? I sit here every week. It should have my name on it. No. No, give it up. Give it up. It's not yours. It all belongs to Jesus. Amen? It's his church. It's his church. It's his, and we are part of his body. Knowing this truth is so important. It's for his glory. That is our aim. His word is our guide. His gospel is our message. May that ever and always be at the heartbeat of this congregation and fellowship. And I believe, you know, considering we're at 180,
179 years or so this year. I think that's a testament to the faithfulness of God, first of all, and the faithfulness of the people here. That Jesus be first. So my personal satisfaction, my customer mentality, my consumer mindset, that's all fine at the mall, but not in the Church of Jesus Christ. Not in the Church of Jesus Christ. It's not about me or you. It's about Jesus. Jesus first. Jesus Lord over our worship, over our ministry, over the preaching, over the children's ministry, over the missions. Jesus first over the youth ministry, the outreach ministry, the small groups, everything. Jesus first. Jesus first. May that ever and always be our heartbeat. I'm not saying we have an issue here, but we must keep remembering and be so quick to lay down our pride, our petty disagreements, for the sake of Christ and His glory and the future of His church. Amen? I will build my, what does He say? Church. Notice He didn't say, I'll build my country club. He didn't say, I'll build my clinic or my school or my social service. Those things can all be very good. But His promise is, I will build my church. I will build my church. What's that word? It's the word ecclesia, called out ones. And it's interesting to note that there is an Old Testament echo here. This isn't just like brand new, but there's a train, there's a progression that has been happening since Genesis. That word ecclesia in the Greek is often translated from the Hebrew word of assembly, the assembly. The word was used. The same word here we see that Jesus using in Matthew 16:18 is also used in Acts chapter 7 to refer to the congregation of the Israelites in the wilderness when they received the law. So there is like a shadow in the Old Testament of this, kind of an Old Testament echo. There's continuity, in other words, in what Jesus said when He said, I will build my church. As we know, the presence of God among the Israelites was in the tabernacle, right? And then in the temple in Jerusalem. But now, where is God's presence in His church? Is it only here in these four walls? No. It's in you and it's in me as believers. The presence of God is in His people, in His church. Not the building, but the hearts of those who come to Him in faith. Praise God for that. That's worth an amen, right? So, loved ones of God, as I close, it's a question. Are you a member of the church that Jesus is building? Are you a member of His church? I don't mean is your name on a ledger somewhere in a book in the basement of the church or on some business meeting minutes. Are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ? That is to say, have you come to Him in faith? Because John 1:12 says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believe in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Have you received Him? Do you believe in His name? And you are part of the Church of Jesus Christ, the greatest movement in the history of the world. I will build my church. The church has been used of God through the centuries to do so much for the glory of God. But it's all about His glory. It's not about people. It's about God and His glory. Whether it's starting schools or hospitals, research facilities. You know, some of the greatest and mathematicians and scientists that the world has ever known have been people that are part of God's church, serving God, contributing to society. God's way, for God's glory. Are you a member of the Church of Jesus Christ? I pray that you are. I know that many of you are. If you're not, my prayer is that you would humbly bow your knee today and receive Christ. Ask Him into your heart to forgive you of your sins and know that by faith we are saved. It's by grace through faith we are part of His church. I hope this gives you great joy today, that Jesus said, I will build my church.
I hope it gives you peace in troubled times. May we bow our heads together. Awesome God, we thank you for your promises. And we thank you for this promise today, that you will build your church. You are building your church. You are building us as a people. You're pruning. You're calling us to stay in the vine. You're growing us, Lord, as we abide in you, as we stay faithful to your message. Jesus, we thank you that you said the gates of hell will not prevail against your church, the work that you are doing through your people. We give you the glory, God, for all that you are doing here, how you are building your church at Gilmore, how you're building your church in Peterborough. God, you are building your church across Canada and around the world. We say, God, be glorified. Be glorified in our lives as we humbly serve you and willingly, willingly join you in what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.